everybody. Recovering addict named Tony, dialing in tonight from the cold tundra of Minneapolis, Minnesota, in the United States, where it is currently 17 degrees. That's the high for today. So I was out walking earlier, and it's a nice, crisp, brisk day to enjoy my recovery. I want to thank Ken, who asked me to come to the meeting and share. I'll start off with this. Ken followed up with me when I posted to the secular group on Facebook that I just on December 11th celebrated 40 years clean. So yeah, that's a round of applause literally for everyone in this room and in rooms like it for the past 40 years of my life. I got clean at 23 because I had run out of options. I had tried everything to make my life work, including using chemicals to try and deal with life as I knew it, but all I got was confused, and I got desperate, and I got lonely. And it was through some friends that said, "I think you need some help." And I was like, "Well, I know I need some help, but what are you talking about?" And my ass ended up in treatment. So through a 28-day program, I learned that I have a disease, and that disease is called addiction. And it was really strange because for the first time in my life, they were just sitting there, like in workshops and stuff like that. They were talking about what it means to be an addict. And all of a sudden, I was like, well, stop talking about me. You're talking about the way I think, the way I react, the way I choose to do things, the shame that I've gone through. So it was like they're reading me. And all of a sudden, just like it says in our basic text, I no longer felt ashamed of being who I was because I saw myself not as a morally bankrupt person, but as a sick person. And I felt a lot of relief with that. And I was like, okay, now that I know the problem, now what the heck do I do? So they said, oh, go to meetings. And I'm like, why? I mean, you've told me what the answer is. Why do I need to go to meetings? And they said, well, this is the way it works. And they handed me two things. They handed me a copy of the AA Big Book, and they handed me a third edition of the Narcotics Anonymous basic text because I had mentioned while I was in treatment that I smoked pot. I didn't mention I did a bunch of other things too, but that one apparently qualified me for NA. I did go to some NA meetings early on in recovery. Most of them were in the treatment center as part of the hospitals and institutions effort of our local area. And I immediately didn't feel like I belonged. And it's really strange to say that because today NA is my home. This is where I belong. You are my people. This is where I get my support. This is where I get my meaning. This is where I get my purpose. This is where I get the support I need in order to live this new way of life. But back then, early in recovery, being a young man, all I saw was differences. I mean, the guy, I remember he rode a motorcycle and he wore leather. And here I am, this 23-year-old just coming out of the closet, little queen, going, I have nothing in common with this person. And so what I ended up doing is I ended up in special interest meetings in the AA fellowship for 20 years. And that's where I got exposed to the steps. That's where I got exposed to this new way of life, but it was within that special kind of cocoon. And it wasn't until I was 20 years clean that one of my then sponsees actually asked me, said, "Hey, we've got a new NA meeting going on over here on Saturday nights. Why don't you come check it out?" So one of my sponsees invited me to an NA meeting. I went to that meeting on that Saturday night and I switched fellowships that day. The identification that I found in that Narcotics Anonymous meeting made me immediately realize that I had found my new home. And so anybody who I call myself cross-pollinated, who is like, oh, spent some time in another fellowship and then comes here, welcome. There is absolutely no shame in getting the answers wherever we get them from. And I know that's very true for me because I, growing up, I always wanted to do the right thing. I wanted to do what was absolutely correct so nobody could say I was wrong because I felt wrong. Growing up, I didn't feel like I belonged, even as, I had seven children in my family, and I didn't feel like I belonged anywhere, even in my family of origin. One of the things that in early recovery, starting to go to the meetings, I mean, this was going to be a long road for me because when I was in the treatment center, I remember they had the 12 steps and the 12 traditions up on the wall. And I read through them and I was just like, I got to that third step. And I'm like, and even the second step, because they had, some of the words are like capitalized. And I'm like, ah, I see where you're going with this shit. I have a problem with the God thing. I have a problem with the entire religious aspect of this program that you're trying to point me towards. And the reason why I had such a big problem with it is because I grew up in a very, very religious household. I actually, before I got clean, I spent 3.5 years in seminary studying to be a Catholic priest. That didn't work for me. Well, they kicked me out because I was selling dope in seminary, but that's a different story. I mean, we don't even need to go into that one. They also said I had some problems that I needed to work out. And the problems ended up being the fact that I was an addict and I had to, deal with that. But once I got into recovery and I saw that G word up there and I kept seeing it and I kept seeing these undertones of what felt to me like religion, almost like a cult. I was like, I don't think this is going to work for me. I really don't. I don't know how this can work for me. I am so grateful and can say nothing more good that for sponsorship than I can ever speak about anything in this program. My first sponsor, he's no longer with us, unfortunately, because he relapsed and died from a heroin overdose. So, this disease can take any of us. And he had 10 years clean when I asked him to be my sponsor. I told him point blank, I said, I got a problem with this G. The God shit don't work for me. I've already tried that and it failed me. And he looked at me and in the simplest and most plain-faced way said, well, if you don't like your God, fire him. Find something else that works. I mean, this is a program of suggestions. There are no rules here. But I was so convinced that his recovery was solid and that he was living a different life that I wanted, I started to follow his suggestions. I mean, I had a big book at the time, and I took a black magic marker and I crossed out every single G word that I found. Just did it, ruined a book. Oh my God, I did it because that's what I needed to do. And I really latched on to that saying that says, take what you want or take what you need. And my second sponsor says, don't leave the rest, just set the rest aside because you never know when you might need it. But that's exactly what I did, is I gave myself enough permission to start this process of exploring this spiritual program, because it, I mean, it says it right there in the basic text. This is a spiritual program. Throughout my recovery, I've considered myself spiritual. I used to be Christian. I used to be Catholic. I then became a what do they call it? A reformed, I don't know what the hell it was, but my deconstruction happened. So all of a sudden I'm running around and I'm going, I don't think I believe any of this stuff. I think I'm becoming, for lack of a better term, a non-resistant non-believer. And as soon as I did that, and I had several years of recovery, I had to ask the question, or the question came to my mind going, well, if there isn't a God, who the hell's been keeping you clean? Because I had several years clean at this point, and all of a sudden to look back and say, all right, so what's keeping me clean if there isn't a God? That actually helped to launch me into our basic text talks about we do go through different phases in our recovery. And this was a new chapter, a new phase in my recovery, was staying clean without a spiritual or a religious basis. I figured out that the principles that underlie our steps, our traditions, and our concepts are what I aspire to. They are the powers greater than me, including every single person in this meeting here and in every meeting that I go to. And I go to a lot of meetings. I'm early retired, and so I have evenings free and days free. Days I spend with sponsees, evenings I spend in meetings, and it's a good life. It keeps me from using, and that's the bottom line. I mean, I was a daily user. I would use anything and everything I could get my hands on because life was too painful. Now I get my hands on any spiritual, ethical principle, call it psychological. My spiritual awakenings are not spiritual in nature. They are psychological awakenings. They are my aha moments that honesty is the best policy, even if it's painful. You know, that principle of honesty, the principle of open-mindedness. Treats me well when I practice it. Willingness? Oh my God, my program has become so practical. And even in our basic text, it says if it's not spiritual, it's not practical. So my spiritual practice ends up being some of the most practical shit that I have done in my life. And I don't even have to go to church for it. Although I do spend a lot of time in church basements in my in-person meetings. The thing about it is, though, I don't need church anymore. I don't need any of that stuff. I have a basis of living this new way of life based on the precepts that are talked about in our steps and in our traditions and our literature. But I have been able to put aside all of the dogma, all of the garbage that I brought with me into recovery, and it's opened up so much of a door that, and I am so happy that secular NA is here as an outlet or as an opportunity for people to find like-minded people, because finding them in person is still challenging. And I can sit through some pretty, how do I want to put it, high energy meetings where, you know, people are talking about their higher power. And at an 8 mind. But I love the readings in our basic text that say NA is big enough. NA can, I can find my recovery here even without that concept of a higher power. And I am so grateful for that because I didn't feel that this was going to work for me. And I haven't found it necessary to use now for 40 years and 7 days. I mean, I didn't even think I could stay clean for 7 days, let alone, I mean, the 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. I mean, when I first went to my first meeting, somebody got a 5-year chip and I sat back. I was still using it at the time, but I sat back in the meeting and judging and saying, oh, you got to be lying. There's no way anybody can stay clean for 5 years. Then I thought further, going, well, who'd want to? I mean, why do you want it? Oh, no, I wouldn't. No, how do you stay clean through a Friday? How do you stay clean through a weekend? And by doing those simple things that I was told early on in my recovery, go to meetings. And it wasn't until just recently in the last couple of years that I've been doing 90 and 90. But it's been working. So I don't argue with what's working now anymore. You know, my biggest problem is accepting that what works works, and then I just got to do it. It's like that whole thing about step three, making a decision. If I don't take action on that decision, it's just fantasy. I have to make my decisions based on my recovery and then take the next right action. So my program is a lot about action. It's not necessary. It is about what I'm feeling. I have to identify my feelings. I've got to deal with my feelings. I've got to take care of myself while I'm having the feelings. But every feeling I've ever had has gone. I don't have to react to my feelings anymore. The steps have provided me the opportunity to do that. They have given me the tools. They have given me the ability to have better coping mechanisms so I can actually feel my feelings without my feelings dictating my next action. That was not the way it was when I was using. So that to me is a miracle in recovery. And I define miracle as an unusual or unexpected event. So my recovery is filled with miracles. And I see it every single time I go to a meeting when people are doing things that I used to find impossible to do. I like to joke that I was a hopeless dope fiend for probably from the age of like 16 until 23. Recovery has switched that around to where now I am a dopeless hope fiend. Doesn't mean I don't have fear yet. It doesn't mean that I don't have some of those, maladaptive coping mechanisms or character defects or shortcomings. But what I do have now are more tools and the support that helps me to stay on the path today. I mean, a really big thing, we have an IP that's called the Triangle of Self-Obsession. Oh my God, that one kicks my ass every time I read it. If I look at the past as an addict, I'm looking at regret or resentment. And if I'm looking at the difficulties of today, I'm looking at it through anger. And if I'm looking at the future, I'm looking at it through fear. But what recovery has done for me, it's been able to resolve the past. And so I'm able to look at the past not with regret, but with acceptance. And I'm able to look at, I mean, oh, wait a minute. Oh my God, I just messed it up because its current is acceptance. The future is faith now instead of fear. And it's not faith in some supernatural stuff, it's faith that recovery works. This program works. I have the proof in the pudding, and I got a medallion here to prove it. And it's not about medallions. I mean, yeah, they're great. We love to celebrate our wins, and that's it's we should do that. But it's about getting that new way of life. It's about finding a ways and means to live a better life than I did before. And recovery continues to give that to me if I choose to take it. I love the saying that says recovery is not for those who need it, although it is, but it only works for those who want it. I can't force anybody to want this program. All I can do is offer my experience, strength, and hope, and let other people make up their mind, just like I had to make up my mind that this was a way I wanted to go. A big part of my recovery is doing service. And now that I'm retired, I got plenty of time. I do service at my home group. I do service at our Twin Cities area. I do service at the Minnesota regional level. And I also do service just by showing up today, by not doing the same stuff I did before to take me out of recovery, to take me out of society. I sponsor a lot of guys. I think last count it was 11. And some people are like, oh my God, that's crazy. And I'm like, well, I don't run their programs. I am here literally to help them get through the steps. I'm not here to tell them what to do. I'm not here to produce mini-me's. I am here to just be an addict and say, this is what works for me. Use what you want, toss the rest, set it aside, find a life worth living, find a recovery worth investing time and energy in. And as I've watched several people, because I've got people with double digit clean time, and I was actually meeting with somebody today who is working on day three after a really severe relapse. That helps me stay clean. Being of service helps me stay clean, gets me out of myself enough that I can do the next right thing, because I can still be self-absorbed. I can still be robbed of my serenity today by fear if I let it. But I have tools. You are my tools. The program is my tools. It keeps me on the path so I can continue. My biggest challenge lately is just to not be complacent. Keep going. Don't stop. Yeah, I know some more things than I did when I first walked in the rooms, but am I fixed? Oh, hell no. I'm still an addict. I wake up every day, I'm an addict. That's one of the strange things too that sometimes gets me into trouble, especially in secular groups, and I see my time is up. I pray. I do. It says it in step 11. We pray and meditate. I don't pray to a god. Hell no. What, there is no god for me. So why would I pray to that? But what I do, and I like to ask this of my sponsees, I was like, how many times have you prayed today? And they're like, well, I don't know. What do you mean? I'm like, did you go to a meeting? And I was like, oh yeah. Well, then you probably prayed twice already. You know, we open with the serenity prayer, and we sometimes close with the gratitude prayer. And it's like, those are prayers. Call them what they are. For me, prayer is nothing more than putting an intention out to the universe. So I can do that every day when I wake up and I say, yeah, I'm an addict. How can I be of service? That keeps me plugged in. It keeps me in my place. It keeps me humble enough to say, I'm a recovering addict and I'll keep coming back. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it.